Again, we're so thankful that you're here. My name is Pastor Ryan, the senior pastor here at Christ Covenant. And I'm so excited for the brand new series that we start today. You can see the slide behind me, "Tis the Season." And you know, that's an interesting phrase. We've all heard it many, many different times as in different songs. And I did a little research just to kind of find out, like, how did this phrase begin? And you got to go all the way back to 1862. And it first appeared together, these three words, in the song we all know so well, "Deck the Halls." And of course, it goes a little bit like this. I'm not going to sing it for you. You're welcome, by the way. "Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la," with a lot more laws after that. And then it says, "'Tis the season to be jolly." So, "'Tis the season." And this is the season of Christmas trees. I don't know if you put yours up, but me and my wife, our family, we put ours up last night. 'Tis the season for gifts. And if you've got children or grandchildren, there's a lot of gifts involved. 'Tis the season for family traditions. But here's the truth that I know so well, you know so well. It's also the season for a lot of bad things. 'Tis the season for traffic jams. 'Tis the season for awkward family gatherings. 'Tis the season for pain and remembrance of the loss that we experienced this last year. Maybe you have a loved one that went on to be with the Lord and you remember them most, it seems like, in times like this, in seasons like this. 'Tis the season of overwhelming amounts of debt in our lives. And so in this series, for the next several weeks, we're looking to God's Word, which we'll do every week, by the way. And we're looking to God's Word, and we're finding out together, how do we get back to the reason for the season? How do we go from pain and loss and tragedy back to what the first Christmas looked like? A season of joy, a season of hope. And so that's our job, that's our mission in the series, and I can't wait to speak to you over the next several weeks on this topic. But before we dive into God's Word, could you bow your heads with me so we can go before Him in prayer and ready our hearts before the Lord? God, we love you so much, and I thank you for this great church. I thank you for those that have been around for a long time and those that this is their first time here. God, everyone is welcome at this place, your house, and we just pray for us this morning and also those that will listen on to this on our website later on. God, we pray, Lord, that you would ready our hearts to receive a word from you, not from some pastor in some church in Houston, Texas. God, I pray, we pray that you would ready our hearts to receive a word from you, a holy, awesome, and powerful God who loves us so much. I pray that eyes would be open to see what you want us to see. We pray that hearts and ears would be unplugged so we can hear clearly, Holy Spirit, what you want to speak to us. Even if it's something that I didn't prepare, that's not in my notes, or something that I may not even say, but Holy Spirit, you communicate it. We want you to know you have free reign in this place. Speak to us what you want to speak to us. Deal with what you want to deal with. Lord, we love you and we expect you to move. And if you believe it this morning, can you say amen? Amen. If you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, maybe you've got old school like paper in front of you, or maybe you've got an app on your smartphone, or even if you don't, we'll have it on the screen here in a second. But I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. If you're a Christ follower in the room, you've definitely heard this psalm before, probably a time or two. In fact, you'll see a heading in most of your Bibles that says this, a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of thanksgiving. We're going to read all five verses this morning, Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version, one of my favorite versions of God's Word, but no matter what version or paraphrase you have, we'll be all right this morning. Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. Here's what it says. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. You don't have to be a Christ follower to know this phrase. It's very famous. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you thankful for that today? His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You know, I think about the holiday that we celebrated just 3 days ago, of course, talking about Thanksgiving, where everybody in the room, you gathered with family members you're close to and family members you wish you weren't so close to, and you ate turkey and stuffing and pumpkin pie. Thank you, Jesus. And it was a great time. It was a phenomenal time for most of us. If you're a Cowboys fan like me, you watched the Cowboys lose, which wasn't so great, but we've got the Texans tomorrow night, so we're going to be okay. But we had a great time, and some of us that are on social media, whatever our preference is, we probably posted something about how thankful we were, whether it was on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And so it was a great day of celebration, of Thanksgiving. But I don't know about you, but I hope I'm not the only one that sees some irony that we have Thanksgiving, and then the next day, and in many cases that same night, we have a different holiday, of course, called Black Friday. And on Black Friday, we gather together in a different place, not around a dinner table, but in our car or around a laptop. And we search for things, we fight crowds for things, we spend hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars on things we don't even really need. It's called Black Friday. And hopefully, again, I'm not the only one that sees some irony in that. A national holiday of thanks, followed by not just the next day, but that same night, a national holiday of getting stuff. There's some irony there, and it's really not a good thing. Now, if you went Black Friday shopping, please don't feel guilty, okay? I know we don't know each other that well, and so you're thinking, man, this guy is harsh. Does he know how to preach on any different decibel? No, I don't, okay? Sorry, that's how I am. But I'm not saying you need to return your flat screen TV, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we're about to have an altar call where you lay down what you bought. That's not it. You don't have to hit return on anything. Like, that's just going to be okay. You don't need to log into Amazon right now. It's going to be all right. It's okay to have stuff, but the stuff can't have you. It's just how it works. And so really, this speaks volumes to the season that we're in, and not really the world, but specifically in America, and even more than that, in the fourth largest city in America, I'm talking about Houston. We've got a problem that we thank God for a moment, but then instantly we go on to the next thing. And so we see here clearly from Psalm chapter 100 and in many places elsewhere in the Bible that God has called every Christ follower in the room to live a life of thankfulness, not just one day a year or like 3 hours a year, but 365, every single moment of our lives, that we would be overflowing with thankfulness. And I got to tell you this, when you can unlock the secret to joy and peace, one of those is thankfulness. So today, if you're taking notes in church, and that would be a good idea, by the way, I've got 4 points to give to you quickly, and then we'll end this thing and give you a chance to respond. But here's the first point, if you're taking notes, that we see from Psalm chapter 100, specifically in verses 1 through 2. Jot this down if you're taking notes. God has called us to serve Him gladly. Serve God gladly. And those are 3 words that you need to take special note of. You need the serve, you need who you're serving God, but you also need that last word, gladly. Serve God gladly. We see it in verses 1 through 2. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. That's everybody. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We see right from the beginning that such an important part of being thankful is to serve God gladly, not out of obligation, not out of guilt, but out of the joy in your heart to have an attitude of gratitude. And we all know the person, right, that they serve God, but they forget that last word. We know people that have served God for years, maybe in the children's area or on a platform like this. And we all know people, maybe you're one of them, that they serve God. They go to the nursing home. They do this and that, but it's and that, not out of gladness or joy, but out of guilt and obligation. They almost see it as a chore. And maybe you're in that place today. And maybe you started out in the right place, but just over time, and it happens to the best of us, you've moved to the place of serving God, of living for God out of obligation. It doesn't make you happy. You do it because you don't want them mad at you. It's a chore. I want to talk to the parents and the grandparents in the room for just a second. I think we can agree that there's a difference between your child and your grandchild doing the dishes with joy in their hearts and doing the dishes because they don't want to get in trouble, right? There's a difference. There's a difference between your child or your grandchild cleaning their room because they want to contribute to the family or cleaning their room because you've asked them 85 times, right? There's a difference. No, I hear you, okay? You're speaking loud today. You're just thinking, I want my kid just to do the dishes, right? I just want them just to like clean up after themselves. And that's a whole series from a different day, like different time. But there's a difference, right? Between doing something because you want to contribute, because you know it's a good thing to do, or doing something because you don't want somebody mad at you. And that's how we operate so many times. We do things because we don't want to get in trouble instead of doing things because we're excited about it. We serve in the children's ministry. Children's ministry is a big deal around here. As long as I'm the senior pastor, which is hopefully for a long time, children's ministry is going to be a big deal around here, okay? It's important, not just because we have young kids, because my wife's about to have a baby if you didn't hear already, but like it's just a big deal in general. The next generation, if we don't reach them for Christ, all of us are going to go home to be with the Lord one day and there'll be no one left. We've got to reach the next generation. They're a priority now, not then. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off track. But what I'm trying to say is when you serve God gladly and you serve in the kids area, you don't do it because it's your turn that month. You do it because you know you've got an opportunity to mold young minds. You're doing it because you know you've got a chance to teach them about Jesus at a young age to build that firm foundation that we just sung about. You know that, man, I've got a purpose. I've got a mission. I'm not just bouncing a baby on my knee. I'm praying over them. Is anybody hearing me today? I'm pouring into their life. It changes things. It changes things. When you lead in worship or you're an usher or a greeter or you're running slides in the back or running sound or messing with our website, which is updated, by the way. When you're doing all those sorts of things, when you do it with a sense of, man, this is what God has called me to, it changes your joy level. You can face hard times. You can face opposition. But still, you stay firm in your joy. It's what God's called you to serve him. Gladly. Never forget that thanksgiving towards God is the enemy of sadness. It's the enemy of sorrow. Here's the second point, if you're taking notes. Number two, know God's governance. This is huge. They're all important, but this one's heavy on my heart. Know God's governance. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. Not we ourselves. We would never say that, right? But we operate that way. It's he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This is kind of a reality check for a lot of us. Again, no one would ever stand up in the service today and say, I'm God and he's not. No one would say that, right? Like even the non-believers in this room, you would never say that, but so often we live that way. God starts out in the driver's seat, and we're in the back seat when we get saved, but eventually we move up to shotgun, and eventually we kick him to shotgun, and we get in the driver's seat, and then even more into that, he gets in the back seat and sometimes even in the trunk, and he's just going along with us for the ride. We've never say that. You're not going to post that on your Facebook, but we live that way so often, and hopefully this will help you. I've got a little object illustration. I'm a visual person, and so we'll see if this helps you here this morning. I've used this one before, talking about this idea. Now, I've got here a rope, and that's making some of you nervous. Don't worry, I'm not going to do anything weird. But this rope represents the timeline of your life, okay? And it goes like 25 feet. In fact, let me toss it, see how far it goes here. It's a long rope, but we're going to use our imaginations for a second. So instead of it landing there on the end of the platform, let's use our imagination. Let's embrace our inner child. Okay, we're adults and we don't like to use our imagination, but let's do that, okay? Let's pretend that it goes past the steps, past the platform, through the wall, into the parking lot. It just goes on forever, okay? Can you do that with me? And so with this, this rope represents the timeline of your life, okay? Now this little tiny dark part right here, this represents the 70 to 85 years, if you're lucky, that you'll live here on this earth. In the white part, the rest that goes on forever, it represents eternity. You guys tracking with me? Okay? The 70 to 85 years, oftentimes less, here on earth, and then infinity and beyond, right? That kind of deal. So what it represents. And here's what happens if we're not careful. So many of us, we can default into a life that's all about this area and we forget about the rest. So often I meet so many people, Christians included, that every decision they make, every decision on job, what sport their kid's gonna play, what school their kid's gonna go to, every decision on who they date, who they may. I know so many people that they think about this and they forget about that. Now, don't get me wrong. The dark part affects eternity. That's the truth. But why would we ever make our decisions in life of where we're gonna live and what vacation we go on and what friends we make, why would we ever focus on this and forget about that? But we do that all the time. In fact, it got real quiet in here. I wonder why. Because we make decisions on this dark area and we forget about the rest, and that's foolish. And when you understand God's governance and how he set things up, that he's in the driver's seat, that he's God and you're not, you begin to live and act differently. So just ask yourself, how am I living? The decisions I made this last week, were they on the dark area or the white area? The decisions I made in 2017, just ask yourself honestly, I don't know your life, but you do, and God does. How did you make your decisions? Because we've got to begin to give ourselves an eternal mindset. That every decision we make, big, small, and in between, that we know it's a purpose, it's a mission that God's given us. That we would be people on purpose and on mission. We've got to focus not on the temporary, but on the eternal. So ask yourselves this question honestly today. What am I thinking about? Am I focused on this short span of time, this small season of life, or am I thinking about the eternal? Thank you, Rope. Appreciate it. Number three, the third thing, approach God gratefully. Approach God gratefully. Psalm chapter 100, verse 4. All this is from God's word. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at God's word. Here's what it says. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We see here and in other places in the Bible that everything at all times we need to approach God with that attitude of gratitude, with thanksgiving as believers. And I want to go into the deep end of the pool for a second. Let me talk to the seasoned believers in the room, because there's a lot of you. I want you to know this. Thanksgiving is an attribute of a smart, wise, mature believer. It is. And so if you don't live a life of thanksgiving, you're not mature. It's not me. It's God's word. It's just the truth. If you're not thankful for what God's given you, in good times and in bad times, with plenty and with nothing. If you're not thankful to God, you're just not mature. It's just the truth. And don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You've got room to go. But I'm just telling you, it's what God's word says. He has more for you. And so in everything you do, you need to approach God with gratitude. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, a lot of us know this, and really it's the disciples' prayer because Jesus was showing them how to pray. But the Lord's Prayer, what does it start with? Thanksgiving. Thanking God. There's a model that he set up for us. In fact, almost every single time I pray, if not every time, I start with thanksgiving. I know we've got our agendas that we've got to get through. If you're a prayer warrior in the room, you've got like 18 million people you've got to pray for so you didn't lie to them, because y'all know we lie in church all the time. Yeah, I'll pray for you, and then we forget until we see them again, just being honest, like it happens all the time. And so I know you've got to get to stuff. I know you got problems in your family. I know you got problems at your work. I know you hate your boss. I know you got all this stuff going on. And so we just try to dig in and give God our problems, but we've got to first thank him. And if you're literally sitting here today or listening later online on our website, if you're here and you're thinking to yourself, Pastor Ryan, I've got nothing to thank God for, you do have one thing, and that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. If you got nothing else, you've got that. We've all got something to be thankful for. And in total transparency today, just taking off the Christian mask, okay? Just want you to know what's going on in my world. For many years, and I'm still figuring it out, but for many years, I struggled with this point. I'm the type of person, which you've realized after 2 weeks, this is my second week as senior pastor of this church. I'm type A personality. I'm going, I'm like, let's do this, let's do that. Y'all caught that already. And so often, I do something or God does something so amazing in my life, and I celebrate, yay, God, and then I just move on to the next thing. Just how I'm wired. But I knew it wasn't an excuse, and God has been dealing with me on this for years, that it's good to celebrate the good in your life. It's good to thank God for what he's given you. You got a bonus check you weren't expecting. It's good to thank God, to take a moment. And so here's what I had to do. I've given you a lot of theology this morning. Let me give you something practical. You don't have to do this. This isn't in God's word. It's how I live this out, and it's helped me. Because I don't do this naturally, me and my wife, when we first got married, I made us for almost a year, if not a year, but before we went to bed that night, we verbally, out loud, thanked God for 10 things in our life. Just practical, every day. Because I didn't do that naturally. And it got annoying, because I didn't want to do it. It got annoying after the first week, like it just wore off. And I was like, I want to go to bed. I'm tired. We've got a young boy. But no, for a long time, right, babe? For a long time, we just thank God for 10 things, small and big. And if you're struggling with this attitude of gratitude, if it's not you and you're not built that way, just let me challenge you to do something like that. To take time strategically and intentionally every day to say, God, I thank you for my car. It sucks gas like crazy and it's in the shop every other week, but I've got one. I thank you, God, that I've got clothes, because I know most of the world does not have more than one pair of clothes, right? Like, just, this is the truth. God, I thank you for what you've given me. God, I thank you that I've got kids. They drive me crazy and I've got way less hair on my head than I used to because of them, but I thank you that I've got them. God, I thank you for my job. My boss drives me crazy. They should treat me way better, but I thank you that I've got a job when many people don't. God, I thank you that I've got a house or an apartment in Houston that didn't get flooded, because so many people's houses and apartment complexes got flooded. Like, are you hearing me this morning? We've got to be thankful intentionally, not on accident. Approach God gratefully. It's a sign of a mature believer. In fact, one biblical commentary says that it should be at the center of every Christian life, life of thankfulness. Last point as I get ready to close. Number four, remember God's goodness. You've got to remember it. You've got to learn. You've got to relearn. We see this in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. There was some of you that are maybe were here back in September, the first time I spoke at Christ Covenant. And this is one of the points that I highlighted in my message from the book of Lamentations, talking about Jeremiah's life. The point back then was actually recall God's goodness, but same idea. And really, this is a theme that's woven through the Word of God, that we've got to remember that God is good, especially in moments of tragedy, especially in moments of loss, especially in difficult seasons of life. We've got to remember, we've got to choose to remember that God is good. He's so good. If you're taking notes, jot down this thought. Thankfulness in a difficult season is not pretending the pain's gone, but knowing it won't last forever. I'm going to say that again. That's got to get into somebody's heart and soul today. Thankfulness in a difficult season is not pretending the pain's gone, but knowing it won't last forever. And that's part of the goodness of God, right? That cancer can't chase us to heaven. That's part of the goodness of God, right? That sickness cannot stalk us to eternity. That's part of the goodness of God, that whatever struggle you're going through, it's not going to be able to go after you in heaven. So I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know what's going on in your heart. And you pretend like everything's good, but you're depressed on the inside. I don't know what difficult season you may be in, but I've got good news for you. God is good. It's not dependent on your good situation or bad situation. He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He's good. I want to close with one last story this morning. It's a true story. So inspired my wife and I, especially through the tragedy that we faced that I talked about here at Christ Covenant in the past. But it's a story of two young pastors, the senior pastor and his wife. Their name are Levi and Jenny Lusco. They pastor in a phenomenal church in Montana and all throughout, it seems like, North America. Huge online presence. And years ago, it's not recent, but it's true. Years ago, they faced a tragedy that I think just puts a bow on the end of this message. 'Tis the season, part one. Years ago, my wife and I, we saw a video message, a sermon that the wife, Jenny, was speaking on a platform. And she was talking about the tragedy that they had been through. You see, they had four girls at the time. They've got actually a boy now, big family. But they had four girls, and one of their daughters' name was Linya. And Jenny, the pastor's wife, she was speaking a message, and the church knew what happened, but she was going into more detail than they had heard publicly. And she was talking about what they went through, and she was sharing about her daughter, Linya, that basically from the time she was born, she had severe allergies, like severe. Skin was constantly red and spotty. I mean, they were basically living in the hospital for seasons of their life. And she's sharing all this with the church. She talked about how every night they had a routine that they would have to rub all these different ointments and lotions all over her body just to help her out. They were talking about how they had to like adjust her diet even. A little girl, I think she was 5 years old at the time, just horrible allergies, severe reactions that she would have. So she was talking about this and unpacking it with the church body that they lead. And through that, she was holding back tears most of the time. She would take many different moments throughout that sermon, that message, and she would just hit pause as she got her composure back. As you can imagine, she was going through something difficult. And here's what it was. It was Christmas time years ago, and her husband, the senior pastor, they were out buying toys for their daughters and gifts, and they had a family friend, or I think it was even a family relative, that was watching their four daughters, including Linya. And as they were out shopping, they got all their stuff together, and they came back, and they were in a different room as they wrapped all the presents. And if you've got little kids, you know they're trying to get in, right? And so they had that relative helping them out. And as they were packing and putting things in boxes and wrapping them with wrapping paper, all that sort of stuff, all of a sudden they hear a scream from the other room. and that family relative shouts out, "Something's wrong with Lenya. Something's wrong. You've got to come." And of course, as any good mom and dad would, they rush into that room, and they can tell right away because they had seen the signs over and over again that she was having a severe allergic reaction. Didn't know what it was. You don't need to diagnose it at that point. You go to the hospital. And so they picked her up. They got in their nearest vehicle, and they sped toward the emergency room. This poor little girl, 5 years old. We've got a four-year-old son, 5 years old. They get her to the emergency room, and before they can even get her to see a doctor, she doesn't make it. She dies right there in her father's arms. Parents, grandparents in the room, think about that devastation. Five-year-old daughter. Jenny, the pastor's wife, is sharing all these details with the church, and she says something so profound. I hope it will speak to you like it's spoken to my wife and I. She said, "Worship during the most difficult pain is the most powerful." Worship during the most difficult pain is the most powerful. And the father's holding her on his knees in that emergency room. And Jenny, the pastor's wife, has a hold of her hand. And she talks about, and this blows me away. I don't think I'm at this place yet, and maybe you aren't either, but it's a great example for us. One hand in hers, their baby girl, and there in the emergency room, she lifts the other towards God. Right after she passes away, and she sings an old song that if you're a Christ follower for any amount of time, you've heard it before. She says, "Lord, you give and take away. You give and take away. But still, my heart chooses to say, Lord, blessed be your name." In their darkest moment, in the situation that none of us would wish on even our worst enemy, she chose to remember God's goodness. And I'm not at that place yet, if I can be honest with you. Maybe you aren't either, but that's where God wants to get us to. That even when your world crumbles, you remember that he's good. Even when everybody in your family lets you down, even when your spouse that you love so much, they make the same mistake they've made 1,000 times, even in the darkest valley that you may be in, you've got to remember that God is good, that he's with you. I want you to close your eyes with me all across this place. Thankfulness in a difficult season is not pretending the pain's gone, but knowing it won't last forever. God, we praise you. We worship you. With every eye closed, every head bowed, whether you're here in person or whether you're watching or listening later on our website. God, I pray for each of us. Tis the season, not just of good, but also of a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil. And God, even though I don't know what each individual person is going through, you know. In fact, your word promises that you are close to the brokenhearted. And so if we came in today, if we logged on today and we've got a heavy heart, that means you're close with us. You cradle every tear. Every moment of weakness, every moment of sorrow, you are here. And I just pray right now that you would minister to your people. I pray, God, even right where they sit, right where they listen, I pray, God, that you would move. Holy Spirit, come in like a flood and bring restoration. Remind them of your goodness. Remind them of your faithfulness. God, I pray if there's anyone here underneath the sound of my voice that they've been serving or living for you out of guilt or obligation, I pray right now supernaturally that you would help them to begin serving you again out of the joy in their heart that there's a purpose that you have for them. I pray, God, if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice that they've pushed you out of the driver's seat of their life, and they've been living their life and making their decisions based on now and not the future, I pray, God, that they would slam on the brakes spiritually. They'd put the car in park and they would get in the back where we all belong and put you in your rightful place, which is first place in our life. And I pray if there's anyone here that they have a real hard time, it's not their natural inclination to be thankful in every situation, I pray you would help them. Even if they've got to get with their spouse or their mom or their dad, or they just got to gather together themselves after service at their home and say, you know what, I've got to every day set a reminder on my calendar to thank God for five things. Whatever they've got to do, that it would become an attitude of gratitude. Help us. We need your help, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us with eyes still closed, heads bowed, no one looking around but me. If there's anybody here that you're far from God, please, no one looking but me. This is me, you, and God right now. But if there's anyone here that you're far from God, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you've never surrendered your life to him. Maybe you've never put your faith in him. Or maybe there's someone here that at one time you were close to God, but you know there's a chasm between you and him and you want to get things right. I want to give you a chance to get things right today. Before you move on to lunch or any activities you have, this is the most important part of your day. So with eyes closed, heads bowed, if there's anyone in this place that you're far from God and you want to get things right, with no one looking, can you just lift up your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else see that hand? Thank you, Lord. See that hand? God, you're so good every week bringing people to salvation. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Don't miss your moment. Thank you, Lord. It's the most important part of our service every week. And for the Christ followers in the room, you're praying underneath your breath right now because you know that heaven and hell are in the balance. It's why we do this every week. It's what we do. It's what God's called us to do. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see it. Here's what we want to do. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front, even though there's nothing wrong with that. But right where you're seated, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of commitment to the Lord. It's a prayer that all the Christ followers in the room are going to say out loud with you, repeating after me, because it's a sign of support. You won't be the only voice. There'll be many in this room supporting you as you make the best decision of your life. It's a prayer that says, Jesus, I love you. I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. Forgive me of my sins. That's it. Nothing magical. There's no pixie dust that's going to fall down from heaven, but God sees your heart, and the word promises us, if you say it and you mean it, you will be saved. So each of you that raised your hand a moment ago, and also all the Christians in the room, repeat this after me, and more importantly than that, believe it in your heart. Repeat this. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me so much that you died on a cross, that you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I put my trust, my hope, my everything in you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we clap our hands for those that just gave their life to the Lord? I don't know about you, but that was fun to see people give their lives to the Lord. And that's going to be something that's going to be happening all the time as we give invitations and we bring people into the house. Can you stand to your feet with me all across this place? If we haven't had the chance to meet just yet, I would love that opportunity to meet you. We hope you join us for one of our pies with a pastor. It will happen 3 Sunday nights here in December, December 3rd, December 10th, and December 17th. Don't need to RSVP. We may even play some bingo, y'all, okay? It's going to be fun. It's going to be low key, and we just hope that you come. It'd be a great opportunity to invite a family member or a friend that doesn't know the Lord, because it's not church, and sometimes that's an easier first step for people, and we hope you join us for one of those gatherings. Our altar team, our prayer team is going to come to the front here. If you need to run out the door, that's completely fine, but we're here to pray with you. If you have anything extra, something I preached on, something I didn't preach on, if our altar team can come to the front, we want to pray with you. Besides that, you are dismissed. God bless you. We hope to see you next week for our communion service.